Welcome to the Sober Gay Sunday podcast, a podcast about being gay and sober and not just on Sundays. In this podcast, we'll explore the ins and outs of being queer and sober in a world where drinking and using are woven into the fabric of our culture. This season, we'll be hearing the stories of addiction and recovery from sober gays from all over the world. Every story of recovery is unique in its own way, and every story deserves to be heard. So let's go. In this episode, we welcome back Ray Diesel. Ray Diesel is an international porn star and sex worker living in Los Angeles. Please welcome Ray.
You know, you try to make the best out of it, whatnot, but most studios do not want you to be high. They don't care what you do outside of that. But like, even the people who, directors or whatever, that might do drugs themselves, they're not wanting you to show up high because they got a time limit. That's money. They don't have the luxury of being like, okay, girl, we'll wait for you to calm down from your G. No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
It's more about building the fantasy than actually like, you know, having guys high on set. That makes sense. Because that was one of my first things was like, because I've known for a long time that Treasure Island kind of fantasy was like that fucky feel.
The sketchy motel, sweaty, low lighting type of thing. And again, the times I've been with them, I've never known anyone to be high on drugs. I haven't. Trust me, you wouldn't have enough time to do drugs. The shoot is very quick. Like, you're there maybe an hour and it's out. Now, they have done some shit like that? Yes. I was thinking about the one in London. That was really bad, but that was another director in London who filmed that. They got in a lot of trouble for that one too. But most of the guys that film for Treasure Island, they're sober and they don't want to deal with that. They're picking the models and they're not telling you to do drugs. Now, if someone just shows up and like they done did some G and no one knew, there's nothing they could do about it. But they don't let you sit up on set and smoking and do all the other stuff. No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Interesting. Ain't got time for that.
Right. Exactly. So what are some of the tools in your sobriety toolbox? Like, what do you do on a day-to-day basis that keeps you sober? Like meditation or AA, NA? I think you mentioned that you went to meetings, but what are some of the tools you use?
For me, staying connected close to the program in many ways. I don't go to meetings like I used to. I'm very honest about that. I keep it real about that. My life got very full and I just never know how work is going to be. So it makes it harder to go. I have one meeting I go to anytime I'm at home. I made that my home meeting. Mm-hmm. So on Mondays, I go to a CMA meeting. I go to that one because I know people there. I have a group of friends. I go an hour early, have coffee, go to the meeting, go and hang out with them afterwards to go eat for fellowship. That is my time to be connected. But I stay connected with people in the program. I like calling, texting, you know, checking in. That's what I do. If there's something going on, I'm feeling triggered about something, I'll call them. But I'm also been very lucky and very thankful again, because it's not just people in the program I have. I have friends. My friends, I go to circuit parties. I've been going to circuit parties for years. Again, the sober one. And more than half the people in the scene knows that I'm sober. And the friends that I've hung out with love to tell people that I'm sober.
Yep.
They'll be at the after hour at 7 o'clock in the morning. They're like, can I tell them? Because I'm dancing and having a good time. And I'm like, tell them what? That you're sober. That you're sober. Because they found it fascinating. They do drugs. They respect me. They don't offer. In fact, I think they would be more mad at me, be more upset if I used than I would be. Mm-hmm. You know, people would like offer me drugs and put something in my hand. I don't even know what it is. And I see it and my friend would come snatch it out of my hand. Now they take it.
Right.
But they're like, you don't need that. And I'm like, but dude, so you ain't gonna use it anyway. That's a waste.
Right. Exactly. I feel that.
But I'm like, you know, so I've been very lucky with that. I also have big support with my family. I am very blessed with that too. A gay man, black gay man in the South. And I will say that I had the easiest out of the coming out of the closet experience than most people I ever met. And I never got judged for any of my family on both sides of family. And my family is very in the church, all that, blah, blah. They have never. That was the one thing that I was very thankful for. You know, they didn't judge me about the drugs things. They're very proud of me about my sobriety. You know, they asked me questions, stuff like that. You know, my mom understands the meetings and she knows my, you know, my sober family. So that helps as well that I have support with family, I have support with friends, and I have a support group within within CMA, AAA. I can't do ENA, but yeah, it's not for everybody. It's just not for me. And I have support with people in the industry as well, because there's people in the industry that's sober. And so I have that connection as well. You know, when I'm working on set or someone I'm filming content with, and, you know, my sober sister, who's had way more time than I do, always tell me, it was like, you're a good cause. You're a good thing in the program, because there's a lot of sex workers that cannot relate to a lot of things, you know, because people can, even in the program, people judge.
Yep. You know that.
They judge them for being sex workers. And I'm like, I'm a sex worker. I got to pay my bills. Are you going to pay my bills? So I'm that one that can, people come to me and ask me for advice. You know, what do I do? What, how do I handle it? Like, what do I do to make sure I don't use? Because they're trying to either get sober or they are sober and trying to work again. You know, I just got a sponsee who's in the program, you know. And he wanted me because, you know, he does porn, and he felt more related with me, you know, with everything. And so I've been helping him out with the steps and, you know, telling my journey and what I did, you know. So that's how I've been staying connected with the program and trying and staying sober, being honest, telling my truth. Don't keep a secret, you know. I tell my friend, my circle of sober sisters about the clients I have that do drugs and what happened. I've been very lucky because I look at it's, if it ever crossed my mind to want to use, going to circuit parties and having clients that do drugs will completely turn you away from it.
Yeah.
Because I'm always at a circuit party and I am always the babysitter. I am always the one end up taking care of somebody who done G'd out because their partner has walked away or their friends have walked away. I'm like, okay, you look so hot and now you look like shit. You know, I am the one that have had to like deal with shit like that and things. So it makes me not want to use. Having clients that get too fucked up and having to babysit them, I'm like, no, I do not want to use.
Right.
You know,
seeing it firsthand for sure when you're sober is like, it's a big deal. Yeah. You're like, oh, I was that girl for a while, but now seeing it, you're like, nope, never again.
Yeah. No.
What's one piece of advice you would give someone who is newly sober?
God, I mean, just to be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, people who in addiction usually are not honest with themselves. They'll say what they think other people want to hear, but they don't be honest with themselves about their choices, the things they've done, and why they're doing it. So I just always say, be honest with yourself on why you're in the predicament you're in, why you really getting sober. Just be honest about it. You have a problem. You've had a problem. You know, one of the things I've always tell guys that I meet that is newly sober is, you know, in the program they used to always like, there's that recording of your last use, but people usually don't play the tape all the way through on how it ended. You remember the fun, but then don't play it all the way to show it was fun at the beginning and now it's a messy shit at the end. I tell people all the time, make a video We have technology now. We have smartphones. Make a video and literally really talk about the last time you used and how it ended and how it felt. That is being honest with yourself, telling yourself how it ended. And any time that you ever, you know, get the urge or the feel to want to use, play that video back, because it never starts at the beginning. It always picks up from how you ended.
Yeah.
Right. So if you got time, you know, and literally when I moved to LA, I had stopped doing drugs and it had ended bad. And as soon as I started partying in, it just went down even further. I thought it was going to be like the old day. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, that's definitely the addictive brain of remembering the good times and forgetting the bads. That's great advice. I really like that, actually. If you're going to give a piece of advice to someone who's trying to get into the adult film industry or to sex work, what would be a piece of advice you would give them?
Again, in any of the occasions, like I said, I have five rules. I can't give the five rules because I'm writing a book. But I have good five rules. And I usually give these five rules to someone I know who's getting new into the industry. They want to do escorting or they want to do porn. I give them these five rules. And I was like, when you do these five rules, when you set these five rules, do you stick with them? You know, but I always say the one rule that I have no problem telling people, and I always tell people, write a list of things you will and will not do. And once you write that rule, once you write those down, do not go against them, because that'll be the first fall you make. You have to make those rules. What makes you comfortable or what makes you not comfortable? So that's why I usually tell sex workers when they first get into the industry or whatnot. In the porn world, and it's changed a lot. It's not like I was back in the old days. It's not even like I was when I first started. And I've been in the industry for almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no one way to do it. Now, a lot of people get huge followings and do porn stuff on their own with OnlyFans, Twitter. You know, I still think porn studios are still important in many ways, because it's another outlet to get you noticed. Okay. More exposure, international exposure. You know, they spend the money to take professional pictures, and you know, you never know who it's going to reach. And that's how I've always done my business when it comes to studios I'm going to film for. It's not so much about how much money going to pay. I mean, I'm not doing shit for cheap, but it's about how much exposure they're going to give me.
Yeah,
for escorting, for OnlyFans, right? So if I film for you, what are you going to do for me? Is your brand big enough to where it's international and people who see me on your site be like, oh, my God, who's this? Let me follow him on his Twitter. Oh, my God, that guy from that studio is here in London. I want to hire him because I love his videos. It's that type of thing like that. Oh, he has an OnlyFans. Well, let me see more of his work.
Yeah. Facts.
But I always tell people when they get in the industry, you know, it's still the industry, just like any other industry. It's not easy, but always make rules for yourself, what you will and will not do. And don't compromise those rules.
Right. That's great. If you could give one piece of advice to someone who has a loved one that is currently in active addiction, what would it be?
Don't be their savior.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds kind of harsh, but that's usually what people do. They think they can save the person. And at the end of the day, it's that person's journey. You can be there and be supportive. There's nothing wrong with being supportive. And with that means, babe, this is what you can do, which I just talked to my sponsor about, because he was feeling guilty about a friend that was in need and was calling for help. But she ended up, you know, dying. And I told him, but that's not your fault. You did everything you were supposed to do. You gave this person information for meetings, information for rehab places, you know, and you was there to support. But there's only so much you can do. And that's how I find with any relationship. I have friends that, you know, have drug issues, even in the industry. And I try to be there and be supportive as much as I can. But I have to have boundaries, because if they're going down, you're going down with them. If you're putting 100% in, it's like, no, you cannot put 100% in. You can be there, be supportive and help them in many ways, meaning, hey, babe, I'm finding you a rehab place. Hey, babe, I'm finding you like some meetings. I'll go to a meeting with you. Just be there, support you. But you cannot be their savior.
Yeah, facts.
Because they're going to put that on you to be their savior.
Yeah.
And you can't be their savior. So, you know, you can love them from a distance, but you can't be their savior. No.
Great advice. All right. So I run an organization here in Boston called Sober Gay Sunday, and it is an outing group for LGBTQIA plus members who are sober. And we do stuff like axe throwing and beach days and paint night and stuff like that. So if you could pick one dream Sober Gay Sunday event, what would it be?
Oh, of activity?
Yeah. One activity. Dream activity. What would it be?
I always love a little cute little tea dance on a Sunday.
There we go.
The dance is my favorite thing to do. And so, like, that's one of the things I used to love going when I, like, was going to more meetings and, like, there was events and stuff like that. I love going to a little cute little tea dance.
Love that. Yeah.
And just, like, little house music, you know, something fun, a couple of hours, nothing crazy. It's a way for people to socialize and dance and be goofy and silly. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. So now that we're kind of wrapping up, this is kind of your opportunity to plug stuff you're doing in the future and let people know where they can find you if they're looking to connect.
Okay. Well, my future plans is in the new year is writing a book.
Love that.
I'm in the process. And then my next project from that point is writing a script because my friend wants to also try to turn it into like a meaning series. And I want to do, and I'm going to be working on a YouTube blog thing, you know. So this project's coming up.
Cool.
In the works, talking to people, helping me out with that. You can always find me on Twitter, RayDiesel@S. I post everything on there. You can always find me on OnlyFans, Just for Fans, which is RayDiesel@S. To see my work. I think I have good work. I don't think I disappoint. So, yeah. Other than that, I don't have anything like big coming up because it's the end of the year and I have not planned anything for the new year. No trips, no nothing. I need to do that. I'll usually wait till after Christmas to like plan out my months of where I'm going to go, get booked for shows and stuff like that around the world if I can. So, yeah.
Very, very cool. All right. Well, this was really amazing. Thank you so much for joining us on the Sober Gay Sunday podcast. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Thank you for tuning into the Sober Gay Sunday podcast. Please feel free to like, subscribe, share, and comment. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Sober Gay Sunday. You can also email me directly at SoberGaySunday@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, stay sober, guys. I'm so sick of small talk, and tell me something, you're jumping at me on the head with your biggest mistakes. I don't want your daily drama, fill me in on family traumas, tell me all the medication that you take. Cause life's so short, the plane's so fast, and I